That's a good song to magnify his name with, isn't it? Go with me, if you would, back to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter 1. I want to read what will be the text for this evening, which is verses 3 through 5. Let's read those verses again. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now, Peter is the writer of this epistle. And the Lord said to Peter, just before the Lord went to the cross, as he was heading to accomplish our salvation, this is what he told Peter. He said, Peter, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. He said, but I've prayed for you that your faith fail not. And he said, when you are converted, I want you to strengthen your brethren. You know, he let him go through a real sin so that he could have compassion on his brethren and strengthen his brethren. And that's exactly what he has done in this epistle. That's exactly what he has done. These three verses are one sentence. And he says a lot in this one sentence. He says so much. Charles Spurgeon said, these three verses are a New Testament psalm. He said, if a psalm was written in the New Testament, it would be these three verses. This is a psalm of praise. Every word of it is good news. Every single word of it. So what I want to do is just go down through it. I tried at first to just pick out a certain portion, but let's just go through it. And we're just going to see and hear good news on top of good news. Peter is talking specifically to, verse 1 says, the strangers scattered throughout. Those who are, verse 2 says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. He's talking to sinners that God chose to save. That's who he's talking to. Those who cry, not have I gotten. You know, while everybody's running around crying, I got saved, I got saved. He said, I'm specifically talking to those who cry, not have I gotten, but what I received. Grace has bestowed it, and I have believed. Boasting excluded, pride I abase, I'm only a sinner saved by grace. He said, that's who I'm talking to. That's who I'm talking to. Every soul who cries that, Peter said at the end of verse 2, grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. Now he's about to explain what that means. What is God's grace and peace multiplied to a sinner? He gives a list of things in this next sentence. Things that God's people have received by His grace. What we're going to look at is things that we have. Things that we have because of God's grace and peace to us. Here's the first one. Verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy. The first thing that he says God's elect strangers possess. The first thing that he says we have, because God's grace and His peace has been multiplied to us. This is what we have. Abundant mercy. Abundant mercy. He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. I love how the Apostle John said in Revelation 5. He said, I heard 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands crying, worthy is the Lamb. All of them. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. He said, I heard 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. And then he went on to say, and every creature in heaven and every creature on the earth and every creature under the earth heard me cry. I heard them, and then they heard me cry. Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever. Verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy. You see what the margin says for abundant? Much. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his much mercy, knew every morning mercy. From the God who delights to show mercy. That's what we have. Much abundant mercy. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 1, back just a few pages. First Timothy 1, verse 12 says, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy. Because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord, which was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause, because I'm the chief, I obtained mercy. That in me first, Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Those who God the Father has put in Christ have obtained abundant mercy in Christ. That's where it's found. That's where we have it. In his blood, through his death, we have not received what we deserved. That's what mercy is. He received it for us. All right, here's the next thing. Go with me back to the text. 1 Peter 1, verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again. We have a brand new life. Have you ever set out to do something and then messed it up so badly that you come to the place where you realize this can't be fixed? The only thing to do is throw it away and start over. You ever done that? Does that describe your life like it describes mine? This can't be fixed. This can't be fixed. God begat us. He gave us life. And we ruined it. And I'm not just talking about in Adam. Adam plumb ruined it. But Gabe Stonaker ruined it. I ruined it. I absolutely ruined it. The record of this life right here cannot be fixed. Cannot be fixed. That which is flesh is flesh. But God told Nicodemus, he said, my spirit is going to blow where it listeth. And he's going to come to every single one of my elect strangers, and he's going to give them a brand new life. They get a brand spanking new life. They get to be born again. They get a brand new record. They get the record of the life of Christ himself. This new life that is in him cannot be ruined. It cannot be ruined. I want to show you something in 1 John chapter 3. First John chapter 3, verse 9 says, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. That strikes fear into every one of us because we look at that and say, that does not describe me. That doesn't describe me. That right there does not describe any man but one. Just one. Those who are begotten again, they do not just receive a replacement life for them to ruin that one just like they ruined the one before. If I just got a do-over, if that's all it was, well, he gets a mulligan. I'd mess that one up just like I messed the first one up. That's not what God's people receive. They receive the perfect, finished life of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul said in Galatians 2, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And because of that now, every single time God looks on me, he sees the record of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ every single time. And every time he looks on that record, there's no sin on it. No sin. Christ put our old ruined life away on that cross. That's where we're living it out right now. Why do we still sin? It's because we're living out the entire life. But Christ put the entire old life away on the cross. And when he did that, we were begotten again. All right, here's the next thing we have. Go back to the text, 1 Peter 1. Verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. We have a lively hope. I have so enjoyed that word today. Listen to what that word means. It means to live, to breathe, to be among the living. Not lifeless, not dead. To enjoy real life. To have true life worthy of the name, worthy to be called life. It means active, blessed, and endless. Verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a true, real, worthy, active, blessed, endless hope of life. I mean life. We're about to start living. Eternity is never ending. And this life right here on this earth is 70. It's a finger prick is too long to compare the pain we're going to endure on this earth to eternity. And I'm telling you, we are about to start living the endless, glorious life that we are about to have in Christ and with Christ is so active. And I think that's a wonderful word. It is so active, and it is so real, and it's so true, and it's so worthy to be called life. It's so much those things. The life that we right now have on this earth, in comparison, has to be referred to as death. The Apostle Paul said, the body of this death. David said, this is the valley of the shadow of death. The only way that this lively hope that we have for what's coming can be described is our Lord described it. He said, it's life more abundant. Life more much. Life more much. Much more life. He said, you think you're enjoying life now? Wait till you start living. Wait till you start living. Everything is so cloaked in death right now. Just wait till you start living. We're about to start living. You know, we think of going to be with our Lord as, well, there's no more pain. And that's so wonderful. I don't want pain. But we're missing a major portion of it. We're about to start living. We're about to start living and breathing and moving and having our being. We're about to have our being. We have a lively hope. Here's the next thing we have. This is what God's elect strangers have who have received that grace and peace multiplied to them. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We have a risen Savior. We have a living Lord. Go with me to 1 Corinthians 15. First Corinthians 15, verse 12 says, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there's no resurrection of the dead? Why would anyone believe that there's no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain, and your faith is also vain. It's empty. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, you are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Peter said in the text, if we're one of God's elect, if we're one of God's chosen elect, he said, let me give you some good news. All right, let me pass along some good news. I'll tell you what we have. We have a risen Lord. The reason that's such good news is because if he arose, so will we. I mean, after they put our body in the ground. If his body arose, so will ours. this body will rise from the dead. Sinless, glorified, but this body, he said, I'm not going to lose one hair from my head. Isn't that what he said? If I belong to him, if I'm one of his redeemed, every soul that is risen in him is going to be able throughout all eternity to see their risen Savior seated on his throne. And they're going to be able to walk right up to that throne with boldness, with acceptance, that they may obtain mercy and grace in time of need. That's just glorious. All right, here's the next thing. I'm going to be brief. Back in our text, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. As strangers chosen of God, this is what we have. We have an inheritance. We have an inheritance. The Lord said, Peter, I want you to strengthen your brethren. He said, brethren, we have an inheritance. Down the road in your life, is anyone expecting a big inheritance in the life that we have here on this earth? A big, huge inheritance. We have an inheritance. I mean, we have an inheritance. This inheritance is incorruptible. Moths will never eat it. Rust will never dissolve it. Thieves will never be able to break through and steal it. It's incorruptible and it is undefiled. Sin cannot touch it. What is the inheritance? It is Christ Himself. David said, the Lord is the portion of mine inheritance. Our inheritance is a person. We have been betrothed to. We've been given in marriage to. We've been vitally joined to a person. And it just so happens that this person owns all things. We get Him. We get everything that He is. As He is, so are we. We get everything that He has. All things. That's our inheritance. God said through Peter, it's incorruptible, it's undefiled, it'll never fade away. It will never run out. It'll never be exhausted. Never. And I love this. He said, there's no possible way that it could mistakenly go to somebody else. There is no possible way that it could mistakenly go to somebody else. He said at the end of verse 4, it is reserved in heaven for you. Now there's only one illustration to give for that. Don't you love that story of Roland Hill having that dream? He said, I had a dream that I received my lively hope and I was carried up into glory. And he said, when I got there, I heard the most beautiful music. I heard a choir. At this time of year, you know, we sing these Christmas carols, and I always loved the line, sing choirs of angels. Well, he said, I heard the most beautiful choir of people, brethren. And he said, they were singing the most beautiful words. And he said, I came up and saw this great, massive choir. And I thought, oh, I'd love to sing with that choir. It's just so perfect. Every note is perfect. It's so beautiful. I'd love to be a part of that. And he said, I looked up and near the very top of the choir, way up there, was one empty seat. And he said, when I saw that seat, I thought, maybe I can get all the way up there before that seat is taken and join the choir. So he said, I started up those steps all the way to the top, and I got up to that row, and he said, I made my way down the row, and I came up to the seat, and he said it had a name on it, reserved for Roland Hill. And he said, I sat down, and I started singing, and I knew every single word. Worthy is the Lamb, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. This inheritance is incorruptible, undefiled. It's never going to fade away, and it is reserved in heaven for you. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Our Lord said, you rejoice. You don't rejoice because the devils are subject to you and this and that. He said, you rejoice because your names are written in heaven. That's amazing. We have a reserved seat. That's what we have. Verse 5. We have an inheritance reserved in heaven for you. Verse 5 says, who are kept by the power of God. We have absolute security. The mercy that we have is not in theory. We don't have mercy in theory. We have mercy. And we don't have this lively hope in theory. We have a lively hope. We don't have this new life in theory. We have a new life. And we don't have this inheritance in theory. We have an inheritance reserved for us. We are not kept and hedged about and preserved and guarded in theory. We have absolute security. Absolute security. We're not just kept. We're kept by the power of God. We're in God's hand, and God is in God's hand. Christ said, you're in mine, and I'm in my Father's, and no man is able to pluck you out of my Father's hand. We're kept now. We have always been kept, and we will always be kept. We're His children, and He's going to keep us all the way to the end. Jude said, unto him that's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. All the way to the end. If we're one of God's elect strangers, we have absolute security. Here's the last thing. The last thing he mentions in this sentence. This could be the thing we take most for granted. But the reality of this has really sunk into me. This is our greatest help. This is what pulls us through. This is what keeps us going. When we feel like it's time to scrap it and be done, this is what keeps us going every single time. Verse 5 says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. God has given us the gift. This is what we have. God has given us the gift of faith. He said we're kept by the power of God through faith. That God-given faith will not let us go. Every child of God knows that if God would let him go, he would go. That God-given faith won't let him go. It will not let him stop looking to Christ. He tries. He tries to stop looking to Christ. It takes nothing to try to look to something else. And God, in mercy, through faith, will not stop let him turn into Christ. That faith will not let him stop coming to Christ. He tries to go everywhere he can, but faith always brings him back to Christ. That faith will not let him stop trusting. It will not let him stop needing. Faith puts him down in the dust again, so he'll cry out in need. Faith keeps us. We're kept by the power of God through this faith, and it'll keep us all the way until the day of our ultimate realized salvation. That actual realized salvation when Christ and all of his kingdom are revealed at the last time. That's what you talk about, a day. We sing, what a day, glorious day that'll be. I'm telling you, on that day when the trumpet resounds and the clouds roll back and the Lord himself descends, all of his angels with him and all of his people with him, that realized salvation, at that moment we're going to say, he kept us all the way. He kept us all the way through faith. We just kept looking to Christ. Well, did you do that on your own? No, sir. That was the gift of God Almighty. We were kept by the power of God through him continually bringing us back. Continually. He wouldn't let us get comfortable. I just don't see why I can't get comfortable. All I want to be is comfortable. He wouldn't let us get comfortable. He just kept bringing us back. He kept bringing us back. He kept bringing us back. And one day, those to me are some precious verses. I needed those. I personally needed those. I thank God for those verses. I pray the Lord will make it a blessing to us. Let's all stand together.